Welcome to Behind the Mind Radio Show on We Act Radio, powered by Ethical Electric. What you are about to listen to is a previously recorded show. We hope that you enjoy it and continue to follow us on Twitter at BTM Radio Show or join the website at btmradioshow.com.
I listen to not much radio, but what I listen to is like radio stations like We Act Radio in D.C. that play only good hip-hop.
Good hip-hop.
And they even play old-school hip-hop.
Okay.
That needs to be revisited.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The consciousness, knowing where you're coming from, knowing where you've been, giving a positive message.
That's your man, Nick Cannon. You know how it is. It's so incredible when we rocking with We Act Radio. Let's get it.
Where else will you get the most current information on game changers,
design thinkers, and well-known innovators?
In-depth interviews from visionaries, trendsetters, from science to food to entertainment.
On the Behind the Mind radio show.
We Act Radio, 1480 AM, 11 AM to 12 PM, every Friday. Join me, your host, Karen Baker.
And me, Anthony Leonard.
We'll talk about design, innovation, and culture.
Think different about design. Behind the Mind radio show.
Hi, this is Noah Scalin. I'm from another limited rebellion, and you're tuned in to the Behind the Mind radio show on We Act Radio.
We Act Radio, Behind the Mind. We want to hear from people that find the time to think and create these fine designs and then turn them into real product lines. So call us up, Behind the Mind. We want to hear from people that find the time to think and create these fine designs and then turn them into real product lines. So call us up now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Behind the Mind. Absolutely. Happy New Year. We took some time off. I tell you, I hope you all enjoyed the recorded shows. Also, the mashup that was done of all the ideas of the week and the Did You Knows for 2015. And Brittany, who runs our board as an assistant producer, did that. So,
yay! Thank you, Brittany.
Good job. Because when she sent off, said, I did all the Did You Knows and ideas of the week. I'm like, woo!
That took a lot of listening.
That's a lot. Definitely. But I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I hope you all enjoyed it. And we will play it again because we definitely have. And Anthony does a great job of the ideas of the week. They are really some good innovations. So even those who are on the list, we should do it again so that they can know that they were put on the list.
And we even interviewed some people from the idea of the week.
Correct. Yeah,
In 2015.
Yeah. So we look forward to doing some more of that, of being able to highlight innovations that we've run across through Fast Company or you do a lot of business magazines too.
Business magazines and Fast Company.
Two of the sources, or three or four of the sources that we actually, Forbes also introduced some things every now and then as well. So again, Happy New Year, everyone. I hope this first 15 days of the year have been good to you as well. Remember to call in and ask a question, because this is a great opportunity to get some free coaching advice. And if you've ever been coached, you have to normally pay to be coached.
Exactly.
So call at 202-889-9797. Or you can tweet your question. That's the easiest one. Facebook is a little...
Yeah.
You can tweet your question to us as well.
BTM Radio Show.
And we'll ask that question to Paula Washington, who is a business and executive coach, who will be coming on after the first break.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to do the announcement real quick before we do the idea of the week?
Or? Yeah, let's do the announcement.
So, you know, today is the official...
Earth Day of
Martin Luther King. How old would he have been this year? Does anybody know?
You know, how old would Martin Luther King been? He's not even paying attention to it.
87. Thank you, Brittany. Okay, so he would have been 87 years old today. And so in that, you know, across the world, people are celebrating Martin Luther King holiday. But here in Washington, D.C., they take a whole weekend. I think D.C., kind of from what I know, does the most stuff out of places besides Atlanta, maybe.
Yeah, Atlanta.
You get a lot of things that occur.
The memorial there, which is beautiful, by the way.
And we have the memorial here is really nice.
And the one here is really nice.
And the quotes on the wall are wonderful. Mm-hmm. The quotes on the wall are wonderful. So as a part of that, there's a lot of celebration that goes on here because of the memorial. And I think because of it being Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's happening is a 2016 Martin Luther King Jr. Peace Walk Parade. And that will happen here where the radio station is located, which is Southeast Washington, D.C., Monday, January the 18th. They'll assemble at the United Black Fund on MLK Jr. Avenue at 9:30. The walk will go until, they'll assemble from 9:30 to 11, and then the walk will start at 11 and go to 12. It then ends at South St. Elizabeth's West Rise Center Campus, and then I think activities then start from there. So there's a whole list of performances that will be going on as well.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
They actually had something yesterday.
Correct.
And it was, what was this, the MLK Parade Host Committee had an event, and that was from 5:30 to 8:30, it looks like it was. And then they have something tomorrow, January 16th.
Yeah, as well. Yeah. So the one yesterday was called The Economics of King, a look at the economic justice and entrepreneurship. So they gathered church, community, government, private sector. It was hosted by Ron Moten, who is a very good friend of the radio station, along with the councilman, Vincent Orange, and then the deputy mayor for Greater Economic Development, Courtney Snowden, who is, again, and Jimmy Kim, who are very supportive of the radio station as well. So continue to look wherever you are. And we know we have people who listen from all over the world to the show, which, again, we thank you for
thank
that.
You.
Just, you know, definitely, like I said, enjoy and celebrate the holiday by some action or participation in some type of activity.
Exactly.
So let's go to the idea of the week, which is really interesting.
Yeah, let's go to the idea of the week. So as you know, it's the beginning of January. Happy New Year, everybody. So if you're like me, you only make promises you can keep to yourself. And that's how, of course, people make their New Year's resolutions. But that's often a way that a lot of them are broken because you don't form that habit.
Correct.
Which comes about with the MOTI. M-O-T-I is the name of this new device that is still being tested. But right now, it's good enough that they have the prototypes out so you can see what it can do. So the MOTI uses a reminder and reward system to get you to form good habits that you've resolved in the past few weeks from it being the new year, based on the latest behavioral science about how our brains actually form habits. So the MOTI is a little small robot that sits on your desktop or wherever you're at the most, sitting down, standing up, wherever. And unlike an app on your phone, it is a constant reminder of your goal. So it starts to flash and buzz and act as a physical and visual trigger for you to turn it off and do whatever you need to do. So if you want to say, oh, I need to clean up more, or I need to go for my run every day, you can set it up through this web interface to, at 12 o'clock, tell you to do what you need to do so you can form that habit.
Okay.
So, like I said, on cue, the device starts to flash and buzz, and you can do whatever you need to do to start to form that habit. But it only supports a single habit at once, and that comes through research that the people at MOTI did, because you can only form a habit one at a time. So you can't say to the MOTI, I want to do these three things on my New Year's resolution list, because realistically, you're not going to do them all.
Yeah, and
I guess that's why you try to attack them all at once.
Right, and I guess it's what people turn around and usually within less than 30 days, I think they say most people have given up their New Year's resolution.
Exactly. You know? So it's like after you, if you have three on your list, you set your top priority, put it into the web interface, and it'll remind you after you've achieved that goal or that resolution, once it becomes a habit for you, you go to that next one and the third one, etc. So it's not out on the market yet, but it should be out by next New Year's Eve. So I would love to have them on when they
absolutely
come out with it. So I'm going to try to reach out to them.
So maybe we'll wait and try to get to them right November, December of this year
I think I'm going to try to get them on or tweet them or something and say, hey, we talked about you guys today. So I'm excited about it. So the name of the designer is Kalaya Matthias. And he just finished taking the device through hardware accelerator program called Highway 1. And then after some final tweaks, they plan on launching it through a crowdsourcing fund later this year.
Okay.
So that they can actually bring it to the market the beginning of next year.
Well, kudos for doing it. You know, see how we can support people and then accomplishing their goals would
exactly.
be great.
Exactly. That's how it was for the T-Ware, sorry.
Yeah, the T-Ware.
T-Ware.
Mm-hmm,
we talked about them as an idea of the week, and we had them actually on the show.
Before the end of the year.
That with the Modi.
Sounds good. So before we go to break, we have just about 30 seconds here. January is National Mentoring Month.
Yes.
And as you know, again, we're doing a three-part coaching series this Friday, the 22nd and the 29th. We're really excited about this. I think it's just going to be a good introduction into the new year for everyone, mm-hmm. all of our entrepreneurs who are out there. But January is National Mentoring Month, which I didn't know. And it actually came into a session in 2002, and it was endorsed by President George W. Bush. We Act Radio probably doesn't like us to say that name, but it's so good. National Mentoring Month was spearheaded by the Harvard School of Public Health and Corporation for National and Community Service. So there have been many, many media campaign partners from ABC to NBC to Viacom, Comcast. And so keeping in mind that there's a National Mentoring Month, and it's really, the month is January, but you should be doing it year round.
Yes.
You know, mentoring someone. And people always say that's the thing that's missing right now is people having mentors.
Mm-hmm. People need guidance.
They need guidance. You know, it's just in your personal, professional, whichever way you choose. So the designer of the Did You Know is Milton Glaser, who was a graphic designer
mm-hmm.
who actually created it. So
he created the iconic I Love New York sign.
Oh, yeah. I remember talking about him before.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So definitely make sure you take part in, celebrate, whether you're mentee or mentor for National Mentoring Month.
Be involved.
So when we return, we're going to have the opportunity to start our coaching series with Paula Washington, who is a business and executive coach. I know she's hanging on the line. We'll be back. You're listening to Behind the Mind Radio Show on We Act Radio.
This is Yannick Rice Lamb at Behind the Mind Radio. Thanks for supporting us at We Act Radio, 1480 AM.
The Postal Service is critical to our economy, delivering mail, medicine, and packages. Yet they're closing thousands of offices, slashing service, and want to lay off over 100,000 workers. The Postal Service is recording financial losses, but not for reasons you might think. The problem? A burden no other agency or company bears. A 2006 law that drains $5 billion a year from post office revenue, while the Postal Service is forced to overpay billions more into federal accounts. Congress created this problem, and Congress can fix it.
As Martin Luther King Day approaches, civil rights leader Reverend Joseph E. Lowery remembers.
He died at 39, but he never let fear of death disturb his momentum. He stayed focused, and he stayed committed, and he took chances. He lived daringly. I think that day is a day we ought to think about what Dr. King gave his life for and what he called on us to do in the context of serving the common good.
The best way to honor Dr. King is to volunteer in your community, serve on the King holiday and throughout the year. Go to mlkday.gov to learn how to get involved. That's mlkday.gov. This message is brought to you by the Corporation for National and Community Service.
You're tuned into Behind the Mind Radio Show. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
There's this psychiatrist, a lady named Dr. Frances Cress Welsing. She has a theory about the black man in America. She says that because of the system of racism, the black man in this country has been made to think of himself as a baby, a not yet fully formed being who has not realized his full potential. To support her claim, she offers the following. First off, what does a black man call his woman? Mama. secondly, what does a black man call his closest acquaintances? His boys. And finally, what does a black man call his place of residence? The crib.
We Act Radio, powered by Ethical Electric. Do something.
Thank you for listening. You're tuned in to Behind the Mind Radio Show on We Act Radio. The show you're about to listen to was previously recorded.
Hi, I'm Jamila Lemieux, senior editor at Ebony Magazine, and you are tuned in to Behind the Mind.
Welcome back, everyone. You're tuning in Behind the Mind Radio Show on We Act Radio. We're powered by Ethical Electric. Like we said before, if you want to tweet your questions to Paula Washington, you certainly can at BTM Radio Show on Twitter, or you can give her a call at 202-889-9797. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, Paula.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Excited to have you on here. You're kicking off our three-part coaching series.
Yes, I so appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So tell people a little bit about your background. It's coming into being a coach.
Well, actually, I was in corporate America for about a little over 20 years. I did corporate training, facilitation and instruction and various things like that in the learning and development field. And naturally had a natural gift to tell people what to do as a child, so my mother says, whether they asked for it or not.
That's right.
And so as after my last downsize, taking those skills and then the coaching industry actually formalizing, realized I was a better coach, and along with my training. So I just naturally, you know, gravitated towards that and transitioned into it really easy.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't really something that I said, well, I'm going to be a coach. That wasn't what it was. It was, I did it naturally and wasn't getting paid for it. So we're going to get paid for it now.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And Paula, you couldn't put economic coach on her title too, because she really will tell you about how to flip that money, get another one out of that client and everything else. So we'll talk about that as we move along. So what makes a smart CEO? We've asked this question to other CEOs before, but what makes for a smart CEO?
In my opinion and my experience, there are five things that make a smart CEO. One is authenticity. Two is integrity. Three is focus, commitment, and then the lastly is to staff your weaknesses. Mm. Wherever you know that you're weak, just get the right people to staff that for you.
Mm.
And then all the other areas will naturally be able to flow, and you'll be able to operate in your strength.
State those five one more time, because, Brittany, you're going to tweet us out over there. Go ahead. Say it again.
Authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity. Focus. Commitment. And staff your weaknesses.
Okay. Now, you know, let's talk about staff your weaknesses.
I was just about to say, that is so important, Paula, because people think that they can do everything.
Yes.
And then they fail significantly. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, that has to do with pride and ego.
Yeah.
And, you know, and through growth. I mean, when I first started out, you couldn't tell me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now we around 17, 18 years later, it's a whole new story.
Mm-hmm.
Humility and not wearing yourself out and recognizing, you know what, at this stage in my life, at this time in the business or whatever it is, I don't have to do everything well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to do everything well.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the people that are good at this and put them in position that empower them, which allows me to operate in my true gifting and really be able to make good decisions.
Yeah, yeah, that's really important. That's really important, and people don't always learn that.
No,
they don't. And you know, when you're in a presence of someone who wants to be a know-it-all, capital always takes over the conversation. You can't get a word in edgewise, not even concerned about what you have to say or think. And there are companies that are run like that, department heads and leaders in certain positions. It makes it very difficult for the employees and the partners that work with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very true. Very true.
So let's talk about your business model and what led to its success.
Well, personally, before you even get to the business, you personally have to have three things that I think are necessary. You have to have a focus and a vision. And then you have to be committed and consistency. That's how you have to be as an individual personally. Then our business model, it actually has 10 foundational elements, and I'm only going to give you 8 today, which is one, having a business plan that includes a strategic plan with exit strategies, diversification within the business, multiple streams of income, leverage, understanding how to leverage your resources, relationships, and revenue streams. The business needs to be scalable because with the fluctuation of the economy, you need to be able to adjust. Legal, have your trademarks, your copyrights, and that living business plan intact. Uniqueness, have a brand momentum strategy. Customization, within your niche market, you should be able to customize what your clients need.
Okay.
And lastly, a strategic innovation plan. Without having that alignment, your company cannot expand.
That is amazing.
It is.
Like you've taken it and you staged it out so well that if it doesn't work to its full potential, you can scale it back and still live. And a lot of businesses don't do that. And then you talked about exit strategy too. A lot of people just have the business plan and say, oh, I got my business plan, I'm ready to go. Can you talk about your exit strategy?
Yeah. Which most people are too scared to even
do. Exactly, because they're like, that means that I'm failing and I don't want to fail. I'm going to do this.
Right.
Well, you know, there's three fears in the air: fear of failure, fear of success, and fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. We're all going to live in one of those spaces at one point in life. But in every area of life, we need to have an exit strategy. First, when I work with people, I always have them go over their personal life plan and then put exit strategies in there over time. And then, so when you go to your business, you said, well, you know, we're going to try this product or this program and this and that and the other thing. And if we see it's not making money, we need to see where we're going to scale it back and exit and move it over.
Okay.
And, you know, how that works with leverage and diversification, especially when the economy's changed, the product might not have been good for that time, but it might be good during a bit when the economy's on a downfall where you can go back and visit that idea and put it out there and see if it'll fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it, you know, that's why exit strategies are extremely important. And this doesn't represent failure. It's actually a blessing.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people, when you talk to them, I'm like, well, I've asked people, what is your exit strategy? And doesn't it?
Because it means that you're not succeeding.
Yeah.
But if you have an exit strategy, that means that you are, because you're not going to lose money trying to make something survive when it's dying.
Or you're able to know when a cycle is over.
Exactly.
And then also, when it's time to sell the business, when it's time to have fun, when it's time to enjoy life, because one of the things we do as business owners is one of the reasons we work so hard is so that we, one, don't have to get a job, but two, to have a good quality of life all the way around.
Mm.
Well, there comes a point where you need to turn that company over to someone else, or even sell it, or shift your position in it and let everyone else that you've been training now walk in the fullness of their leadership capabilities, and then you just sit back and be the mentor.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk about the differences between business coaching, executive coaching, and entrepreneur coaching, because when you read on your website, there's some differences between those if someone's trying to figure out what would be best for them for a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, the fundamental element of business coaching is accountability, regardless of the position.
Okay.
Co-creates a strategic plan and devises accountability for the management and the execution of that plan. And usually, the business coach is individually driven for a project or business need. Now, on the other hand, an executive coach is typically hired by a company for their leadership staff and high-performing teams. And these individuals are seeking professional acceleration through personal growth.
Mm.
And executive coaching equips individuals with skills needed to drive and manage change, build highly productive teams, time mastery, and thrive in the most challenging situations with a heightened level of awareness. When you hire an executive coach, the individual that you usually works with them, they're high performing. They can't see their blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that an executive coach helps them do. And it's a progressive approach in moving forward. Now, on the entrepreneurial side, when the entrepreneurial coaching in my practice helps business owners to focus, grow their business idea. Vision clarity. The number one thing that an entrepreneur has a problem with is vision clarity. They'll jump from one trend to the other instead of staying with their vision. The accountability of a business plan helps the business owner stay on track. And those are the things that are key with entrepreneur coaching. And business owner's quality of life is just as important, if not more than the idea. And having that balance/alignment is the key to achieving one's goals. And that's, in our practice, what we do with entrepreneurial coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thanks for the day. Yeah, because it definitely is a difference in it. And the good thing is people understanding and getting a coach, the balancing of the personal and the professional life that the coach, you know, again, not only the accountability, but making it accountable in both sides of what's going on. Because, you're well-rounded. You got a 360 approach to who you are.
Exactly. And the thing about it is you only have one life. You have various roles in that life.
Correct.
So the roles that are most important to you, they have to be in alignment first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the personal side. Once that's in alignment, anything else you do will be very easy. A lot of the women that I work with, when they get in alignment, their income tends to increase, whether they're on a job or their business. You know, they close higher level of deals. They make more money over a long period of time. Opportunities come to them. Their family life begins to thrive. Marriages begin to come together on another level. All kinds of good things happen when you have a clarity as to who you are, where you are, and accept the truth.
That's very interesting. So you're talking about women-owned businesses. When you coach women-owned businesses, what are the must-dos you require from them to find that work-life balance?
Well, one of the things when it comes to work-life balance, one, you must be ready for change and face the truth.
Mm-hmm. What I do,
we're not the ones to come to if you want to, you know, stay in the fluff and live in a lie. Our business is not for that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, one, you have to be ready to face truth. Two, you got to make the time. Three, you have to be committed. Four, you have to read my time mastery book, Alleviating the Time Vampires in Your Life and Business and Relationships. And that is the starting for work-life balance.
Okay.
So Anthony asked about what type of change.
What type of change? You said you have to go through change. What change specifically?
One, you're going to have to change your lifestyle.
Okay.
And in changing your lifestyle is, one, you think that you have to do all things, you have to be all things to everybody. That's not true. That's a lie.
So you're self-pleasing.
And you don't do it the best. You may make the best decision, but you might not be the best practitioner to execute it. So you got to face truth. What are the things in your life that are draining your time?
Mm-hmm.
What are the things in your life that are causing you to get distracted and you're wasting time?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we begin to monetize that with ROI strategies that I use, the women can see anybody, not just women, men as well. Everyone can see where they get off track. And when you identify where you can get off track, then you can stay on track more often, and that time mastery piece becomes a lifestyle for you.
And then that's where a coach comes in,
mm-hmm.
somebody that you're meeting with on a weekly basis or whatever to hold you to the things that you are setting forth to do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Because, you know, accountability is something that everybody needs. People don't think they do, but everybody needs a level of accountability.
Very true.
You know, and so it doesn't matter what level of position. Actually, the higher you go, the more accountability you need.
Yeah,
and there's specific types of accountability. There are different levels of accountability you need. You need people who can see what you can't see, who know more than you.
I always agree upon. I don't know.
Those are the blind spots that you were talking about earlier, right, Paula?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because, you know, we can't see everything. You drive in a car and you're backing up. You can't see maybe over on the right bumper down underneath what's going on. So why wouldn't you think that you could see everything in your life around you that's going on given all the roles you have to manage? You just can't see it. And you know, let alone with all your employees.
Right, exactly.
So true.
When I was at BET, there was a woman there, and she hired some of the smartest people. And, you know, some of them understood the reason why, but some of them would complain, but I know more than her. And I said, you know what? She understands the value
of you being here.
Of you being here to make sure that what her purpose is as a VP gets done. And they were the most effective team really in that company at that time. You know, driving so much, but the people under her, some of them did not understand it, and some have gone on to own their own companies, but I think that they're making the mistake that they were blaming her for actually doing well.
Well, you know, people get jealous.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of jealousy and envy, and that's because you don't know who you are. When you know who you are, you don't have to be jealous or envious of anyone else. You don't, and then also you have to know the timing in your life.
Exactly.
There are people put in front of you as commercials. This is where you're going, and this is what it's going to look like when you get here. Instead of looking at them and judging who they are and where they are, now you say, you know what? One day I'm going to be in that position. Let me learn everything she did well, and let me avoid everything she did not.
Correct.
But that also has to do with humility as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the personal plays a lot into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Self-reflection,
number one.
Personal
is number one, because without personal integrity and without personal accountability, everything else you do is going to be off. You may hit it a couple of times, because all of us have experience in life. I know myself especially. There are times when I went through things and I hit the mark every time. And then there were times where I didn't hit it as often. Well, what was happening? I was off.
Mm-hmm.
And so there comes a point where you begin to master those things with maturity and experience. You know, it doesn't happen to you, you know, it's part of growing up.
So why, or when would you suggest someone brand themselves?
Right.
And then how?
Okay, that's a good question. I believe in branding. You should start branding yourself today.
Okay.
You know, when I work with employees or entrepreneurs, I have this term called incorporated you. All right. Now, you are your brand. In corporate America today, and even in entrepreneurship across the board, people buy into the person, not the thing. So, if they buy into the person, you have to know who you are, why you're here, what you do well, and what your true value is. Because if you do not, why will anybody else? And would you hire yourself? Would you buy your product? Would you contract for your company? So if you can't say yes to all those questions without your ego being the one answering, then you realize now what? I don't have a personal brand. And a lot of times I work with people, you know, that are in corporate, they get lost in the company so much that they don't understand that you take those skills and you use them for you personally first. Then you can execute them through your job. I remember growing up as a kid, my mom and dad would come home from work because they used to go, you know, the companies they worked for, they went to training a lot. And they would sit down at the dinner table and tell us what they learned. And so as kids, we understood certain things and certain information was given to us because they sat around and they talked about it. Well, I learned this. Well, we learned it this way and this and that and the other thing. And not understanding when I got older, it was a blessing for me because I really was able to see how the training that they had was foundational.
Yeah.
And now in the markets today, very few companies want to because they're always trying to save money. So you have to know who you are. You have to know what your talents are, what the value of those things are, and then what you have to sell within that organization that you can do better than anybody else because that's what you are talented at. That's what you are skilled at, and you're the best at it. And stick with one thing. You know, you don't need five things, just one thing. You do one thing well, you're good. That's good.
Okay. So you don't have to be master of all.
Of all.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. You can't do everything well.
Exactly.
But that one thing that you're good at, you can do that well from now for the rest of your life.
So the how in branding yourself is really mastering that one thing that you do well, huh?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then putting a value to it.
Okay.
You know, we have to steward our talents and our gifts and our values. We just can't be giving them away to everybody and all this kind of thing. You have to do the work, the research, and everything that is needed to master that talent and that skill within the company. You have to do your due diligence. If you are head of the department and you see that they're doing budget cuts or what have you, and you don't want your budget to go, what do you have to do? You have to justify why it should stay at this amount of money and why you need to keep your human capital, which are your assets. Mm-hmm. You have to justify that. Well, where does that come from? It comes from you as the leader. I have led this organization or this department into such and such and such, and I can say we've had a return on investment, da da da. So this, if you were going to marginalize our budget, this is the percentage that you can take, and we can still maintain the level of excellence that we operate in. As a business owner, you know what? I may not be able to, my brand promise to my customers cannot be compromised. So what do I need to scale back in my business in order that I will not compromise the brand promise to my customers?
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah, that's a very good one. Great examples. Thank you. Yeah, those are really good examples. So people really understand what that means, how to apply it. So
you've kind of alluded to it already, but can you give us some more suggestions? Survival techniques for staying in business after you've built your brand?
Okay, well, number one is don't panic. Because, you know, over the years in the training and learning and development industry that I'm in, there have been highs and lows, 9/11, you know, 2000, whatever. We can look at all the highs and lows in business. But a true visionary knows how to stand and pass the test of time. And how we do that is we stay true to our core business, with being flexible to adjust to the business climate fluctuations. And what I mean by that is being able to leverage your assets through creativity. That's when people really rise up. When you know, things are tight and you're not sure, that's not the time to go running your mouth and running around and saying, I need money, I need money. Now, that's the time to be quiet, sit down, get your board out, and start to be creative with the assets you currently have, which are your ideas, your relationships, and your resources that are already present. How can we leverage those things? Secondly, have a plan in place, not only for today, but for the future with the financials intact, because you never know when an opportunity is going to show up.
That thing about the money and starting
because
searching around for the cash, you know.
Exactly. And I hear so many people come to me saying, oh, you know, I need more money, I need more. I said, no, you don't. You don't need more money. You need to know what to do with what you have in this transitional time period. Because, see, money is not given until you have proved that, one, you have the stewardship and the maturity to manage it. You know, I want to make $1 million. I said, well, how do you plan to do it? Well, you know, I want this and I want that. I said, well, what's your process? Because everything's a process.
Correct.
We can have a dream. We have all these dreams. But everything is a process, and it's not going to happen overnight. Yeah, you may become, if you win the Powerball, you're a millionaire today, but without a good tax attorney, you're going to lose it all tomorrow. So, hey, it is what it is. Everything's a process.
Yeah.
If you don't have your proper business structure set up, your company is not going to fail. It's not going to be successful. Mm. It's going to fail. You know, without a business plan, I meet so many people who don't have a plan or a strategic plan. I'm like, what makes you think your mind is so great and you gonna remember everything that you can get things in alignment?
That's
you
right.
got to write the vision. You got to make it plain so that the people that you are going to engage can take what you've written and run with it and build a profitable organization.
Wonderful. Good stuff. I knew it. I was like, everybody better get your pen out and their pencil out.
And don't forget to call in
202-889-9797
if you have any questions. We have to go to a break. We will be back.
You're listening to Behind the Mind Radio Show with Paula Washington as our guest. We'll be back.
Mm-hmm. listening to Behind the Mind Radio Show, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, this is Sharif Shafi.
And this is Jeanette. We are the Freedom Fighters of Washington, D.C. Tune into our broadcast, which will air on Fridays at 7 p.m. We will talk about mental health issues in the black community, legal issues that affect the black community, and highlight little publicized issues of injustice that occur every day in the black community.
Tune in on Fridays, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., Freedom Fighters.
Tuned in to Behind the Mind Radio Show. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Chris, can you put the video game controller down for a second?
I can talk and play. Oh, I'm totally annihilating this punk kid in Nebraska.
I just feel like you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
Well, you know, you still ride your skateboard to work. There's the comic book collection, the race car bed.
Look, I'm young at heart. But I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I picked up a few savings tips at feedthepig.org. I have control over my financial life now, and that feels pretty grown up.
Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. For free ideas and easy tips on ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
So, I bet I look like a grown-up to you now.
Well, except for the footy pajamas, I'd have to agree.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
We are here to say a word about cancer.
When you talk to someone who has been diagnosed with cancer,
be positive.
Be supportive.
That's it. Stop right there.
Don't start telling them about your Uncle Vern.
Or the next door neighbor.
Don't be grim.
Try not to disappear either.
Don't cross to the other side of the street.
Don't stop calling.
Don't cry.
Don't ever say, you're living my worst nightmare.
You know who you are.
Here's the important part. Be positive.
Be positive.
Sé positivo.
Say these words.
You will do great.
Keep calling.
Check in.
Be a friend.
Or be a new friend.
Be a supportive.
Positive friend.
Smile.
Try not to be afraid.
Or act afraid. Fear is not useful.
Be a funny, hopeful human being.
If you come across cancer,
let it transform you into your most positive self.
And inspire.
Urge. Fortify.
Rally. Encourage someone to do great.
This message brought to you by cancer survivors.
For more information, to hear stories, or share your own, visit DoGreatCampaign.com. Do great.
You hear that? That's the sound of healthy, safe water from the tap. And that safe water is available nearly everywhere in America, thanks in large part to the Safe Drinking Water Act, which turns 40 this year. Happy birthday, Safe Drinking Water Act. Together, let's keep our water safe for the next 40 years and beyond. To learn how to protect your water, visit drinktap.org. This message brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
This is Lauren Wiseman of Leveraging Smart Incorporated, and you're tuned in to the Behind the Mind radio show on We Act Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Behind the Mind Radio Show on We Act Radio. We're powered by Ethical Electric. Having this wonderful conversation with Paula Washington as we kick off our three-part coaching series. Yes. This week is business. Next week is with Dr. Eric Mizell. We talk about creativity. And the following week, we end with Dr. Rovinia Brock, where we talk about nutrition and health. Yes. So let's get down. Let's continue to talk about business.
Yes. So how do you advise entrepreneurs on the best way of transforming into a new business, Paula?
Well, the transition into a new business comes in actually two parts. One, if you don't have an exit strategy already, that's the first thing you have to start with for your personal and professional life. And that's where you need to hire a coach or have a mentor to help you develop that strategy. Because if you're in the process of transitioning into a new business, then you have to have someone to help you with that, whether you're leaving your job and transitioning from corporate, because that's a different mindset than going from one company to another.
Mm-hmm.
So research and begin to network with the people who have proven track records of accomplishment. create a high-level business outline that includes your personal goals, needs, and ultimate ideals, and that is a living document that you will afterwards use as your transition plan into your business plan.
Okay. So would you do the same thing for your brand? Because we were talking about brands, too. Could you transfer or transition your brand saying, I don't want to do, for me, I don't want to do graphic design anymore. I want to do space design. How would you transition me or reposition my brand in that way?
Well, you reposition your brand in that particular new market.
Okay.
You use the historical data as your reputation.
Okay.
As being successful in this, and then you use that and bridge the gap into the new.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
So you say, this is my experience doing this, almost like a resume. This is my experience doing this, and this is how I plan on doing it with my new venture.
Yes, but you don't want to look at it as a resume. You look at it as a bio, as a living document telling the story of the evolution of your business and your company. Mm-hmm. Our plans were to expand into such and such and such. This isn't something that I just came up with. This has already been in the plan, and now we are going to, or I am going to, lead the company in this capacity, and we will still offer those services. However, I'm leading in this area.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's
so
totally
it's almost like
from a resume.
You're almost extending your brand, basically.
You're extending your brand. It comes through your personal bio. That's the incorporated you.
Got it.
I actually did that myself. I had two businesses before, or three. Well, there's three businesses before. I shut all of those down, and I put everything into one company. And then I branded me inside of that business. And so all of the intellectual property I've had in the 35 years of my career, I have put into one company, and now they're actually what you would call living documents or living mechanisms throughout the company.
So let me ask you this question. You know, when people transition from being an employee and wanting to go to being a business owner, have you seen the success in that? I know there's struggle. I know that for sure. But have you seen people successfully transition, or do they continue to struggle and then they go back to being someone's employee?
Well, this is the thing. The true entrepreneur, the true enterprising mind, will transition and do very well. I've seen more people do well, especially women, when they transition out, do exceptionally well.
Okay.
Because they're actually living in their passion.
Got it.
Okay. You know, they're burnt out, they're tired, they want to live in their passion. After you get to a certain stage in life, male or female, you want to do what you were created to do. And so you naturally gravitate to that. There are a lot of people who can't stand the pressure and the test of time, and they go back and get a job. Sometimes they do that right when they're on the brink of that breakthrough, mm-hmm. but they never see it because mm-hmm. they go back and get a job. One of the biggest tests in the first 5 years is to stay with the vision. That's why you got to be focused.
That is the biggest
test.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
It is a
that
very
first
big
5 years.
Woo, it's tough.
Yes.
You know? And,
yes.
And me coming out of corporate, you know, experiencing multiple downsizes and actually working within the corporate system in succession planning and working with people who have been downsized, not knowing at that time, that was preparing me for this time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, just one of the companies here in Georgia, Turner Broadcast, just laid off their employees that are 50 and over.
Oh, wow.
What do those people do?
That is,
you know,
cool.
They've been working there 20, 30 years. What do you do?
Yeah.
You know, that's not an easy thing. Now, you know, usually you start to, inwardly you start to have that sense, it's time to go, it's time to go. Make a plan.
Yeah.
I advise everybody to have an LLC. Set up an LLC for your children. You know, have something that you can leverage and work with along the way.
Hmm.
That's very interesting. So you really, it's about the mindset. So it really an entrepreneur mindset trapped in a job. And so when they get out, they see success because they've been trapped in a place that they're not passionate about.
Well, I wouldn't use the word trapped.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the entrepreneurial leadership mindset
mm-hmm.
is cultivated over time.
Okay.
Your training ground was in that corporate environment.
Got it.
for you to actually reign or do well on your own.
Okay.
If I hadn't worked for IBM and some of the Fortune 500 companies back in the days that I was there, I would not have the skills, the discipline, the commitment, and all of this understanding of how business works and nuance works inside of those systems to do what I'm doing now.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
So everybody got to pay their dues.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So let's go to the behind of my questions,
yes.
And we're going to come back to the business coaching. So you ready for the questions, Ms. Paula?
Yes, I am.
I ask these questions to all our guests. So if you could have lunch with anyone living or dead, who would it be?
Well, at this stage, there's so many people I thought about when, about that. But at this stage, I want to have lunch with Arianna Huffington.
That's a good one.
She wrote a book called Thrive, the Third Metric to Redefining Success and Creating a Life of Well-Being, Wisdom, and Wonder. Hmm. And the evolution of her career and her life and overcoming the challenges and tragedies and so forth really resonates with me with the Design Your Life First Academy that I've set up, which is economic empowerment for women, and being able to look at your whole life, see what's in your toolkit. Now let's build a strategy around that with wisdom, expectation, and healthy wellness practices. You know, that's where we are at this point. You know, it's always been, the third metric is not about the money and power. It's about you. And what are you going to do with the time that you have left?
Yeah, she's a very good, when she talks about, she's very good at talking about the lessons that she has learned throughout her time, and to get where, and, you know, really have nurtured and what we talked about before, kind of cultivated her to where she is. But she told a story about how she was working so hard and pushing herself beyond that she passed out and hit her head on the desk and woke up in a pool of blood because she had pushed herself so hard to the point her body just gave out. And she passed out, hit her head, woke up in blood. And that's when she was like, it was a hard wake-up call, but it was a wake-up call, you know.
Yeah.
Very interesting lady.
Yeah, and we as entrepreneurs, we are high achievers. We are high performers. We make it happen and all that kind of stuff. But we have to know when to stop.
Yes.
We have to know when to pull back and say, you know what? I need to shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took 3 years off and I shut everything down. Didn't drive any business or anything because of a health challenge. And I took that time to say, okay, you know what? I need to come up with a really good plan for the rest of my life so that I can enjoy it. It wasn't an issue whether I was going to die or live. I knew I was going to live because, bottom line, I hadn't finished what I was put here to do.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's a thing, like she said, when I woke up and I looked at that blood on this thing, I got to change.
Mm-hmm.
I got to do things differently. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, in society, men are driven in business and so forth and all, and that's how it's set up. It was never set up for the woman.
Mm-hmm.
It was set up for them and how they do things. Well, they can drive like that because the woman is at home running things and taking care of everything. But now what happens to that female that comes into that male business model, which is what we were? You know, I remember the corporate days where we had to wear black, blue, and gray
suits. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was awful because it stifled our femininity. You know, and coming through those ages into now where we're free, and these young women and young men have no idea the price we paid for the leverage and the freedom we have to do business now.
Yeah, very true.
You know, so.
Very true. Great point.
Yes.
Great point. So if you could be a superhero, what power would you possess?
X-ray vision.
Okay.
I want to see them contracts. I want to see what you put behind them contracts. I want to see where the money's at.
That's right. Show me the money.
I want to see. I want to be like the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four.
Oh yeah.
Going too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Boom. There it is.
That's right. As a child, what was your favorite toy?
Oh, my stuffed teddy bears. I love stuffed teddy bears.
Wow.
You know, and I just love them. They're so cuddly, and they're just, like, cool. They're so friendly and pretty and that kind of thing.
So what's the motto or affirmation that you live by?
I've always lived by, to my own self be true.
Mm-hmm.
My charge is live your truth. When you live your truth, you'll always be on point. When you deviate from that, you miss out. And we all do it.
Sure. Yeah, we all do it. Yeah, it happens to the best of us.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It happens to the best of us. So what would you say would, if an entrepreneur's been in business, let's say they got to the 5-year hump, okay, what would you say should be the thing they should be looking at now? And just maybe just in 2016, it got past the hump, in the 5 years, you know, okay, I think I'm good. Should there be something that they should be revisiting, new design? What should they be doing, you think, at this point?
At this point, they should be reevaluating what they've done the first 5 years.
Okay.
They should actually look at a strategic innovation plan so that they can incorporate inside of their business plan. And now they also should be looking at their resources.
Mm-hmm.
And now what is the next 10 years going to look like?
Okay.
What do I want it to look like?
Okay. And explain really quickly a strategic innovation plan. What is that versus just a strategic plan or a business plan? Because you said put it in that. So what is the difference?
Well, a strategic innovation plan is something that takes all of the ideas that are inside of the business plan, and it allows them to grow to its highest level of capacity over time with specific guidelines.
Okay.
And that's what it does. Strategic innovation planning allows you to move from one thing to another very gracefully and profitably, you know, and having one of those really help, especially in today's time.
Hmm. Okay.
All
okay.
Right.
Well, tell people how to get in touch with you in order to learn more about your services and attend some of your coaching, even the things you do. You do group stuff, too. Just talk about the services, too, because you do group, you do individual. How what do you offer?
We offer live and online group seminars, individual seminars, coaching, conferences. We're doing a big conference in September called Design Your Life First. It's the symposium and the fall retreat for the women. We'll be actually giving away capital to the graduates with the best plans and things of that nature. You can reach me at paulawashington.com. Our office number is 404-512-3371. And if you go on paulawashington.com, there is a place where you can make an appointment and schedule a consultation with me, and we can discuss what your needs are.
Sounds great. This has been good. This is a great start to it. A wealth of information. Thanks so much, Paula.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. I so appreciate being with you all and sharing, you know, what I've learned to help others be able to be profitable in their life as well.
Absolutely. I truly advise people, you know, get a coach. It really is helpful from the beginning to the end. I don't care how old your business is. Mm-hmm. It is very, very helpful. And the coach isn't there just to tell you what you're not doing right. You know, they're there to hold you some level of accountability, especially if you're in a C-level group, mm-hmm. you know, so that you have mm-hmm. someone that you can talk to by being a coach. So I really highly advise people to take advantage of the services that Paula has to offer, because she's very good at what she does. You can tell that in the last hour.
That's right.
Absolutely. So we're going to let you close the show.
Well, I thank you. This is so cool. thank you. This is Paula Washington from Paula Washington Enterprises and the Design Your Life Academy here at the Behind the Mind radio show. And we appreciate talking with you today. Have a great weekend.
Thanks so much, Paula. We'll talk to you all next week when we have Dr. Eric Mizell. We'll be talking about creativity coaching. Have a great weekend. Happy MLK Day.
I want to hear from people that find the time to think and create these fine designs and then turn them into real product lines. So call us up.
Where else will you get the most current information on game changers,
design thinkers, and well-known innovators?
In-depth interviews from visionaries, trendsetters, from science to food to entertainment.
On the Behind the Mind radio show.
We Act Radio, 1480 a.m., 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Friday. Join me, your host, Karen Baker.
And me, Anthony Leonard.
We'll talk about design, innovation, and culture.
Think different about design. Behind the Mind radio show.
You're listening to We Act Radio, WPWC, 1480 a.m. Visit us online at weactradio.com.